here. I never spoke about it one time the first 2 years I was here as pastor. And during the pandemic, I never spoke about it one time because that was a difficult time for everybody. And believe it or not, during the pandemic, our finances actually went up here at the church. We went from having $6,000 in our savings account to having $24,000 in our savings account. Our general fund went from a low amount to $10,000. And during the pandemic, believe it or not, God just opened the windows of heaven. I was actually worried. I told Brother Eddie I was worried about it for about a week or a couple of days, what God was going to do during the pandemic, especially since, it limited our ability to do anything here at the church. And I started to panic for about 2 days, and the Lord said, "Why are you panicking?" And I said, "Am I not a big God that can take care of everything?" And I said, "God, shame on me." And I bowed my knee and I said, "God, I'm sorry. You own the cattle on a thousand hills, the world, the fullness thereof. This is your church and you're able to take care of it. Amen." And I still believe that. I do believe that. And God takes care of me on a daily basis, just like he can take care of you. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 this morning, where we'll start, if you found it, you can say amen and I'll know you're there. Amen. Look at verse number 1. It says, "For as touching the ministry to the saints, the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you, of them of Macedonia and Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal have provoked very many. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready, lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, wherefore ye had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say," and this is a universal truth, by the way, "he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." That's common sense, right? You want to have a lot of food to eat, you got to have a big garden. If you plant one tomato plant and one cucumber plant, you ain't getting much. It's as simple as that. That is universal in everything in this life. The more you put into something, the more you get out of it. Amen. You know what I tell men? Put everything into your wife that you can. Put everything into your children that you can. Why? Because the more you put in it, the more you get out of it. Ladies, put everything into your marriage you can. Put everything into your children you can. Put everything into your husband you can. Why? Because the more you put in, the more you get out of it. Amen. Kids, the more you put in school, the more you get out of it. Amen. It's like that on the job. The more you put into it, the more you get out of it. That is universal. Wouldn't it make sense, the more you put into the Lord's work, the more you get out of it? All these things make sense. And notice what it says. Notice what, again, what it says in verse number 7. "Every man according to his purpose in his heart." That's where it begins. Every man purpose in his heart what he's going to do. "So let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. For and God, this is the key, is able to make all grace abound to you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness." It says, "being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God, for the administration of the service not only supplieth the one of the saints, but it is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of the administration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift." Now we'll take the text this morning out of verse number 8. And it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." And I'm going to preach this thought this morning on grace giving. Grace giving. Giving is such a great thing. I thought about this many times. I would rather be the giver than the recipient. I'm glad that I'm able to be the giver. I'm glad I don't have to call 25 churches every month and ask them to help me to pay my rent, my light bill, and my water, and everything else. I'm glad I don't have to call the food pantry and come over and get some food to eat. God's blessed me abundantly above all I could ask or think. Which end would you rather be on? Would you rather be the person on the standing on the street corner with a sign saying, any help would be appreciated? Or would you rather be the person in the car handing $10 out the window? I'll tell you right now, I'd rather be the giver than the recipient. And God has so blessed us abundantly above all we could ask or think. And all I can say is hallelujah. So let's pray. And let's ask God's blessing. Father, I pray you'd bless the word this morning as we preach on this thought of grace giving. And God, would be to God that everybody in the church could be a grace giver. And God, that we could be on the giving side instead of the receiving side. And Lord, there have been times in my life when I was so poor, and God, I was on the receiving side. And God, you sent people to give unto us so that we could live and we could make it. And God, you so richly took care of every need. But what a joy it is to be able to meet the needs of others. And God, to be on the other side of the equation. And God, you're always on the other side of the equation because you're such a good and mighty God. And you're so gracious and kind and good that you give to your children, even to the lost. And Father, I pray you bless the word this morning and help me to bring it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning as I preach on this thought, of all topics I could preach on the second Sunday of the year, I know this is the least preferred topic. I mean, there's only one worse topic, and that's if I preached on hell this morning, right? I mean, these are two topics that make people shrink. But can I tell you, both are needful and important. They are. They're needful and important. And Brother Vic, my pastor, always taught and told me, he said, preach on it once a year, whether they need it or not. Amen. If you look at our financial report, you know we don't need it. Amen. If you look at our financial report, you know God has blessed the church. Amen. I'm not preaching on giving this morning because we're having trouble paying the bills. That's just not the case. I'm preaching on giving this morning because there's a great lesson of faith that the child of God, every child of God, needs to hear and experience when it comes to giving. Amen. Giving is something for everybody in the church, no matter what their economic status is. It's an important thing. And so as Brother Vic's custom was, so is my custom, and so is the Holy Ghost. Amen. So what do you got to do this morning? You got to fasten your spiritual seatbelt so you don't fall out. You know, I always liked it when Brother Vic preached on giving. You say, why? Because it affirmed my faith. I shouted through the whole message. I laughed. I had a great time. There was absolutely zero conviction in my life because I knew I was doing the right thing. And I loved when he preached on it. I did. It never made me feel bad. And thank God. And you know, in this church, we only take one offering a week. We don't take an offering on Sunday night and Wednesday. And we're not like the old holiness where they took four or five offerings, right, in one service. You ever been in a church where they took four or five offerings? It was disgusting. I was in a tent meeting, and the offering lasted 1 hour. And it was disgusting. It killed the whole meeting. Let me tell you, if you got to berate people and beat people, you have missed it altogether. Why? Because God loves a joyful giver, a cheerful giver. Now, there's three things I can say about giving this morning in way of introduction. The first thing is this. You say, what is giving? It's an expression of worship. There's never been a worship service anywhere, anytime in the history of man that giving wasn't involved. In the Old Testament, they would take one of their sheep or one of their goats. They would take one of their bullocks. They would take whatever they had, and they would kill that animal and sacrifice it unto God. Now, Brother Eddie has cattle. And if he killed a cow and sacrificed it on the altar, that would be a sacrifice for him because a cow is something that goes for a lot of money these days. I mean, I'm guessing you might make $1,000 on a cow or more, right? Probably. And if it's a big cow, you might even make more. If you've ever bought a side of beef recently, you know that costs some money. Amen. So it was a sacrifice when people gave and offered of what they had unto God. And it was a way to worship God. Aren't you glad we don't have a burning altar up here in front and everybody had to bring an animal in here to offer this morning in a way of worshiping God? Thank God in the New Testament we worship God in spirit and truth. Hallelujah. And we don't have to drag a bunch of animals in here. Can you just imagine that this morning if we had to do that? But thank God in the New Testament, there's a living in a better way. Because Christ became the last blood sacrifice. And now our sacrifices are spiritual sacrifices. And thank God, it's an expression of worship. It's been said, you can give without worshiping, and you cannot worship without giving. And we know that that's a fact. That's a truth. That's a truth about everything I'm going to say here this morning in the way of introduction. We know that Abel brought an offering unto the Lord, and he offered. We know that first thing Noah did when he got off the ship is he built an altar and he made offerings unto God. All throughout the Bible, everywhere Abraham went, he dug a well and he built an altar and he worshiped God with what he had. You cannot get away from these things anywhere in the Old Testament. David said, I'm not going to worship, I'm not going to offer to God of that which cost me nothing. He said, hey, I am going to worship God, and it's going to cost me something. Amen. And thank God, it's an expression. Giving is an expression of worship. It's an exercise in faith. You say, how is that? It's believing what God said. It's simple, believing what God said. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that he always, having all sufficiency, all things may abound to every good work. Paul writes to the believers in Corinth here, and he says, hey, make sure you're ready when we get here to present your offering. And again, it's an exercise in faith. Giving in faith. Believing that God can take care of the rest of it. Amen. I'm glad I learned that early in my Christian life. I made mention of it on Wednesday. I learned it early in my Christian life. And as my faith grew, my giving grew with it. Amen. And that's the way it should be. I'm glad that my giving isn't $16. Amen. I'm glad that I've grown in my Christian faith. I hate to see Christians that have been saved for 30 years and they're still giving a dollar a week because they haven't grown past that. Amen. It is sad. We need to learn to give. And as you give, God increases the giver. Amen. It's an exercise in faith. That's why he said in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you with good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Great lesson. And that's why he said, if you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. It's all connection here is giving. Giving. And I've proved that in my life the last 43 years. And it's been an exercise in faith, an expression of worship, and an example of love. Example of love. Jesus said, no greater love hath a man than this, than he lay down his life for his friend. Now, is God asking you to be crucified or put your body on the altar of sacrifice to be burnt? No. But God's asking you to give. It's an example of love. Why do you give to your husband or wife? It's an example of love. Why do you give to your children? It's an example of love. It's an example of love. Thank God that it is. Now, the first thing, I got five or six little things this morning. And the first thing is this. When it comes to giving, there's a satisfaction in giving. I can't tell you the joy I feel when I put my offering in. Now, years ago, I got paid weekly and I gave weekly. Now, y'all know I get paid monthly and I give monthly. But there's a joy when I write that check. And it's not tears of I have to do this. It's tears. If there's tears, it's tears of joy that I get to do this. Amen. There's a satisfaction in giving. Will you look with me in the book of Acts, chapter number 20? And in Acts 20, and as Paul writes to the believers there, Acts 20, as he's preparing to take his journey and to go to Jerusalem, Acts 20, and notice what he says in verse 32. And now, brethren, he says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Amen. What's he telling them? Same thing he's telling the Corinthians. God is able. Amen. By his grace, God is able. Know what Paul says? I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Paul never took the money that was given and used it for himself. He used it for the work of God. And ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and them that were with me. I have showed you in all things how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that's a fact. There's an inner joy in helping others. It stirs our heart. You know, we have these worldly Christmas songs at Christmas. You all remember that song about the little boy that wanted some shoes for his dying mama. And I've heard that song 100 times, and every time I hear it, it still brings a tear to my eye. Because it's the thought behind the song, the joyful thought, that you would want to do something good for someone else. And it says in the song that the man ponies up and he buys the shoes for the little boy. And he says, my mama's going to love these as she goes to heaven. And of course, it brings tears to his eyes. It brings tears to my... When you do something good for someone else, there's an inner joy that springs up within you. It's not a burden to give. It's a joy to give. It's like at Christmas when your kids and grandkids open their presents and they're so excited. That's a joy. The joy is the seeing the excitement of the receiver. And the joy of giving to someone, it stirs our hearts. It settles our nerves. It strengthens our soul. There's a satisfaction in giving. Bill and Melinda Gates, you know why? You know why they gave millions and millions and millions and no doubt billions away? They said we could not find satisfaction in anything but giving. And that was one of the richest men in the world. He said, we cannot find satisfaction in anything but giving. You know, and you say, why? It's the way to have peace. Jay Rockefeller, of course you've heard of the Rockefeller Foundation. He found the only way he could sleep well at night was by giving what he had. That's a fundamental truth. The joy of giving. And no greater joy of being the blessing to someone else that's in need. It just feels good. It just feels good. That's why it says, every man according as he purposes his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You ever paid for somebody's groceries at the grocery store? I have seen women weeping at the grocery store as they were putting things back that they couldn't afford. And I said, hey, I'll be 3 or 4 people back in line. I said, I'll go up there, hey, I'll pay for it. Just run it, I'll pay for it. And I can't tell you how much joy that does to my soul. Hey, they're putting back cereal, they're putting back milk, they're putting back, hey, it's not Jack Daniels, it's not cigarettes, it's not all the nonsense. No, it is food for their children. And I can't tell you what a joy that does to my spirit and soul. I can't tell you how many mothers have wept with their children at the cash register. And I went out of there shouting the praises of God because of the joy of being able to give. A cheerful giver, not a tearful. I have this poem, and it's a great poem about thanks and giving. It says, said old gentleman Ray on Thanksgiving Day, if you want a good time, then give something away. So he sent a fat turkey to Shoemaker Price. The shoemaker said, what a big bird, how nice. With such a good dinner before me, I ought to give Widow Lee the small chicken I bought. That's a fine chicken, O.C., said the sweet Widow Lee. And the kindness that sent it, how precious to me. I'll give washerwoman Biddy my big pumpkin pie. And oh sure, said Biddy, it's the queen of all pies. Just look at its yellow face, gladdens my eyes. Now it's my turn, I think, the sweet ginger cake for the motherless Finnegan children I'll bake. Cried the Finnegan children, Rose, Denny, and Hugh. It smells sweet of spice and will carry a slice to little lame Jake who has nothing that nice. Oh, I thank you and thank you, said little lame Jake. What a beautiful, beautiful cake. And oh, such a big slice. I save all the crumbs and give them to each little sparrow that comes. And the sparrows that twittered, as they would say, like old gentleman Ray, on Thanksgiving Day, if you want a good time, then give something away. It is such a joy to be able to give. Can I say this? And listen to me good. A stingy person dies many deaths and never receives the blessing. What does verse 11 say in our text? Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. You say, what does giving do? It enriches you. It enriches you. Every time you give to God, it enriches you. Every time you show an act of kindness to someone else, it enriches you. Every time you're a blessing to someone in need, it enriches you. Can I say this morning when you think about this? And it is a great truth. Not only is it a satisfaction in giving, but it shows our love. Jesus said in Matthew, he said, where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. When you invest in something, you think a lot about that. If you're invested in the stock market or your 401k, is it a 401k, what you call that? I'm in a 403b. And I can tell you, I am eagerly, with great anticipation, waiting to get my statement next week to see what my 403B has become in the last year. You say, why? Because I invest in it monthly. And I'm eager to see, I know it hasn't gone down, because in my investments they can only go up and it's guaranteed 8%. So I'm eagerly anticipating. Right? Because I'm invested in it. You know what I'm also invested in? I'm invested in heaven. And it's through the offerings here at the church that we're invested in heaven. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8 and 9, he said, if you look across the page, I speak not but commandment by the occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love. He's talking about giving. Giving proves the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. No one could ever say that God doesn't love us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The most desperate sinner can't say that God doesn't love them. He proved it. He proved it when he came to this world. He proved it when he gave his life on Calvary. Loving and giving always go hand in hand. And you prove it that you have. There's five things everyone can give. First thing is your treasure. Everyone has something to give. You prove it with your talents. Everyone has ability. You prove it with your time. And I'm getting older and I understand that time is becoming a precious, commodity. I know, hey, I only got so much time left. And all you folks with gray hair, it's a precious commodity. Because you're not promised tomorrow. I was talking with John Berger, friend. We said, John, I said, look, you've broken every bone in your body. You probably only got another 10 years of any kind of health. And you got to make the most of it. I know everyone in my family, the men all died in their 60s, early 60s and 50s. And I said, I got to make the most of what I got left. Because who knows how much I got left. I tell most of the seniors, hey, between 70 and 80 are going to be your best years. Your best years, if you're normal. But when you turn 80, something happens in your body. And now you see the doctor every week. And your best years are behind you because you're working down to meet Jesus. But time is something that everybody has and can give to God Almighty and can give to others. I say it all the time. What do children want? They want our time. They want our time more than our money. Because what does your time speak of? It, what you really love. What you spend time doing is what you really love. Our testimony. Everyone has a testimony that they can use for Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with telling people, giving them a gospel tract, that you're a child of God and you've been gloriously saved. And then there's the tithe. And this is where people fall out. They say, well, you know, I can't tithe. That's a lie. Everybody can tithe. It's real easy. It's 10 cents on a dollar. A dollar on 10, 10 on 100, 100 on 1,000. It's simple fifth grade math. The people in Trinidad, they'd always say, well, what about the widow's mite? I said, if only you were that good. She gave all she had. She gave all she had. Hey, everybody can tithe, but why don't we? You say, why should we? Because it's a spiritual thing. And it enriches you. Can I say this tonight, this morning? Not only does it show our love, which is such an important thing, and not only does it, is there's a satisfaction in giving, but can I say this? It is scriptural. It's been commanded by God. You say, can you show me that in the Bible? You know I can. You're in 2 Corinthians. Look to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and verse number 1. And again, we're here on the first day of the week. The first day of the week is not Monday, okay? The first day of the week is Sunday, and you're here. And notice what it says in chapter 16, verse 1, now concerning the collection for the saints. You understand the collection is for the saints? And I'll explain some of that in a minute, but the collection is for the saints. I don't think folks realize that what exactly the collection does sometimes. Do you realize that we, can I say this? Do you realize that we spend between $500 and $1,000 a month on children's programs in this church? I'll be picking food up at the food pantry on Tuesday. The bill is $250. Everything we do around here, we spend between $500 and $1,000 a month just on children's programs. Just on children's programs. And that doesn't include all the different things that we do for everybody else and everyone else. And that's why he said, now concerning the collection for the saints. How could we do that if we didn't receive an offering? How could we go pay a poor person's light bill or water bill or help them with their rent or provide them food or take them to the doctor? We take people to the doctor. We take people to the dentist. How could we do that if people didn't give? It would be impossible. A child has an earache and they can't go to the doctor. Hey, let's go to urgent care and get that taken care of. How could we do that if there wasn't a collection for the saints? As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, what's the whole idea here? Hey, the more God blesses you, the more you can give. It's like these missionaries. It's like these feeding programs. Remember we bought those chicken coops down there in Honduras, so that children could have eggs? How in the world could they pay $5 a dozen for eggs when they only make $5 every 2 months? I thank God every day for the Good Samaritan Feeding Program. You know why we have that? Because you gave to missions. I thank God every day for the Chattanooga Rescue Mission, where homeless people are being fed and clothed and sheltered and where they can get a shower and be treated like a human. It's because you give that we're able to do that. Individually, you may not get very far, but collectively, you'd be surprised what a church can do. And it's commanded both in the Old and New Testament. Look in Malachi. Flip back to the right before the New Testament there, the book of Malachi, chapter number 3. And again, God commanded these things. In Malachi 3 and verse 8, he says, and this is a golden truth. It said, will a man rob God? We know the answer to that, absolutely. Yet ye have robbed me, but you say, where have we robbed thee? Notice what it says, in tithes and offerings. I tell everybody, tithe and give an offering. Tithe and give an offering. Why? Because you'll be blessed. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. I learned a long time ago, when you give to God, God pours you down a blessing. And it's commanded both in the Old and New Testament to bring a tithe and an offering. And I'm telling you, it feels good, but there it is connected with a curse. Look in Malachi 1. You're right there. Malachi 1 and verse number 6. And it says, as a son honoreth his father, servant his master, then if I be a father, where's my honor? If I be a master, where's my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest. And notice what he's saying. Now, I get mad at preachers that won't tithe. I get mad at preachers that won't give an offering. I get mad at preachers that think that they're exempt. No one gives more to this church than I do individually. Nobody. You say, why? Because I believe in it. I should believe in it. Amen. And I should be setting the example. Never ask someone to do something that you're not willing to do yourself. One time at the jail, they said, hey, we need to go. The guys got together and said, we need to go to the churches and ask them to help this person so they can get to the reclamation ranch and get help. And I said, well, how much is it? They said, it's $300. I said, guys, there's six of us standing right here. Why do we got to go to the churches and ask for $300? Hey, I'll give 50 bucks. You give 50 bucks. You give 50 bucks. You give 50 bucks. And guess what? We won't need to go another step further. You know that when I said that, it hair-lipped all of them. And I said, so I guess that this isn't very important, right? You're not going to tell me, as a preacher of the gospel, you can't come up with 50 bucks to help someone go to the reclamation ranch. Why are we going to churches and begging when you have six preachers standing right here? Never ask someone to do something you're not willing to do yourself. You come to me and say, can we help so-and-so? My first question is going to be, how much are you going to give? I'll give $100 to it. I'll give $200 to it. But what are you going to do? Giving is a great lesson. Notice what he says in verse 7. He's talking to the priest. You offer polluted bread on mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. If ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto your governor, and will he be pleased with it? Or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? They used to have a ministry down in Texas, and they would send stuff to Mexico to help people. And people would send clothes, but the clothes wouldn't have no buttons on the shirt. The pants would have big holes ripped out in the crotch. And you're thinking, okay, that's great. You're sending clothes that you wouldn't even, that aren't even worthy to go in the garbage. You know, they have the child Christmas program, and they insist that all toys be new, right? With a tag on them. You say, why is that? Because people would send broken toys. How would you like to get a broken toy for Christmas? How would you like to get a pair of pants where the crotch is ripped out? How would you like to get a coat where the zipper don't work? Well, hey, preacher, I got this old broken down stove. I'm sure the church could use it. I don't think so. I don't think so. Here, I got an old car that ain't got no forward gears and barely runs in reverse, but I'm sure the church would like to have it. The church doesn't want it, but the preacher will take it because I'll scrap it. But the church don't want it. Whatever happened to giving our best to God? Is there anything wrong with getting something good? God's not a dog, and he doesn't like leftovers. Say amen. Amen. If you flip back a few pages from Zechariah, you'll be in Haggai. In Haggai chapter 1 and verse number 7, the Bible says this. Hey, these verses need read once a year to remind ourselves of what the Bible says on this subject. Notice verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You know, people never consider their ways. Why are they having problems? They're having problems because they don't consider their ways. It says, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Hey, the temple in Israel lied waste. The people built their own houses, but they didn't build the church. And God said, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man to your own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of your hands. Hey, God didn't like what they were doing. He said, you're putting money in a bag with holes in it. I tell folks all the time, if you learn to give, then God would bless everything you got. And who ultimately is blessed by that? You are. You are. There is a satisfaction in giving. It shows our love, it's scriptural, and it starts the flow of blessings. Now, I'm not, turn back to Malachi, I'm not one of these people say, well, give some seed money. You've heard all the fake charlatans on TV. And all they want is what you got. And they're the ones who don't give anything. But there is a certain truth here. Again, in verse 10, he said, bring ye all the tithes of storehouse, there may meet in my house, and prove me now with, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. When you give to God, God gives to you. Can I hear what I'm about to say? God will never owe you anything. Never. Anytime I've ever given anything to God, he gave it back to me and more. People say, well, you're going to go broke giving to God. I have never gone broke. And there's been times when I gave large amounts and God gave me double back what I gave. I've given $10,000 for certain projects and God gave me $20,000 in return. And I'm just telling you, anytime I've ever given to God, God said, don't you worry about that. I am not going to owe you anything, mister. And God's always given back to me. I've given cars, and I've got cars. I've given money, and I've been given money. I've given houses, and I've been given houses. I am telling you, God is never going to be a debtor to anyone. He gives back to us. Look what he says there in verse 11. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast your fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. There's a brother in Cincinnati, and he was building houses and churches in Vietnam. They cost $500 a piece, and he probably built 30 or 40 churches in Vietnam. He said, Brother Chris, you're not going to believe this, but I got 100,000 miles out of one set of tires on my truck. And God just made them keep going and going and going and going and going. God made the truck run. God made the tractor run. He made the house run. God just made everything go. And I built another church. Hey, they're having revival in Vietnam. We may not be having it here, but they're having it in other places. And he said, I want to invest in that. And God has opened the windows of heaven for that dear brother. it starts to flow a blessing. Back in our text, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, again he said, "But I say, he who soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He who soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Blessings are directly proportionate to our giving. A man said, "Unclog the spout where the glory comes out." God repays. When you read over there in Philippians chapter number 4, if you look over there, Philippians 4 and verse number 19 is that Paul commends the believers in Philippi. This is what he said in verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Why? Because they gave to him. And God said, Paul said, God is going to give back. It starts to flow a blessing. It supplies the need of others. Look back in our text. Look at verse number 10. "Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving of God. For the administration of thy service not only supplieth the one of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God." It was giving that allowed the gospel to spread. It was giving that changed lives forever. Verse 13, he said, "Whiles by the experiment of the administration of the glory of God, for your professed subjection on the gospel of Christ, for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift." Giving allows the gospel to continue to spread. It allows the church to minister to the poor. It allows the church to minister to the community. And it allows the church to be able to minister to the church. If you'll notice from our financial report, the church got in $200,000 and the church spent $200,000. It did. They're on the back table. Look at it. It's what allows everything that's happening here today to be possible. When I come in, I said, "Thank you, Lord, for letting me be a part of Fellowship Baptist Church. Thank you for letting me be a part of the mission program here at the church. Thank you for letting me be a part of bringing these kids to church. Thank you for letting me be a part of ministering in the community. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of seeing lives changed." The reason missionaries can get into Trinidad now and get permanent resident visas, because all those thousands of kids that were in those programs, the churches brought them to church. They fed them. They clothed them. They cared for them. They ministered to their parents. And those kids all grew up, and now they're working jobs in the government. When you come into the airport, I don't know who they are, but they know who I am. "Oh yeah, Brother Chris, how you doing? Let me stamp your visa." Right? You say, why? Because you minister to them. And the churches minister to them. And the people that gave to us allowed me to give to them. And it made a difference for all eternity. My sister was in Uruguay, and all them Sunday school kids that grew up, she was down there at the immigration office, and they were giving her heck. And they said, "Hey, we're not stamping your visa. You're not getting your permanent residence, blah, 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 blah." And the guy that was back there was a little child. They was in her Sunday school class, and he saw my sister Wanda, and he knew her. She didn't know him, but he knew her. And he came out and said, "What's going on here?" He said, "She's trying to get a permit." He says, "And we're giving it to her. Give me her passport." He's running the whole immigration department. He said, "Hey, Wanda, so good to see you." And it's been 20 years, but he remembered her. She don't even know who he is till he told her. She said, come back in a couple hours. We'll have this all taken care of. She came back in a couple hours, and he was busy doing something. And they were starting to give her a little trouble. He said, He came right out. He said, bring that back here. Boom, boom, boom. She's got her permanent resident visa. No restrictions. Hey, you never know the good that you're doing is going to come back to help you one day. Remember that song, Thank You, Brother Butch Sings? It's going to be just like that one day when we get to heaven. And the thrust of that song is, I am so glad you gave. Hey, they're glad we gave, and I'll tell you what, you're going to be glad that you gave. There's going to be kids and families that go to heaven because you gave into the offering. You were part of that $1,000 a month helping the church minister to these kids. And that's where the treasure in heaven comes in. Look at Matthew 6, and we'll bring it to a close. Matthew chapter number 6, Jesus Christ made it very clear when it comes to this kind of thing and what he said concerning our giving and why it's important. Because what you give today is going to affect you throughout all eternity. Matthew chapter number 6, notice what it says in verse number 19. Glory to God. I'm glad someone gave so I could get saved. I'm glad someone gave so I could have a church to go to. I'm someone glad that I could be discipled, that I could get baptized, that I could grow in the Lord. Matthew chapter number 6, notice what it says in verse 19. And it says, lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There's only one thing we can take to heaven, and that's the souls of men and women. People say, I'm going to have me a Harley in heaven. You're insane. Nothing corruptible is going to be in heaven. You ever seen a Harley broke down all over the place? There ain't going to. Hey, no man-made junk's going to where God is. No earthly thing means anything compared to eternity. The real question this morning is, do you know the joy of grace giving? Do you know the joy of grace giving? It is such a joy to give and to be a blessing to someone else. And that's why Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's why he said, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, the always having all thing and all sufficient in me, may in all things may abound to every good work. I believe in the work of the church. I believe in Sunday school. I believe in the bus ministry. I believe in our outreach. I believe in the food pantry. I believe in our benevolence fund. I believe in helping people in the hour of their need. It is all made possible by what you give on a weekly and monthly basis. I don't know how in the world this church could ever produce $200,000 in a year. But it does. You know why? Because you give. And that's a testimony. I'll tell you right now, that's a testimony. How in the world we ever gave $80,000 to help people around the world is beyond me that that's even possible. But you've made it possible through your giving. You say, Brother Chris, I'm not a part of that. Man, you ought to be a part of it. For who? For you. For you. Are you saying if I give, I'll never have a problem? No. My transmission went out. It was $4,600. I didn't come to church and cry about it. Right? I went up there and the guy was talking. He says, a guy was there crying because he wanted his vehicle. He said, sir, with the day you called, 22 other vehicles came in and we got 16 in today. 38 other people had their transmission go out in 2 days. So guess what? Everyone's transmission goes out. Great truth there. I called Jason Randall and said, we got so many broken down cars here, we cannot even take another car. He's the number one transmission guy in Chattanooga. And he said, it will be March before we can work on another car. What's that tell you? A lot of people having transmission problems. You say, my refrigerator broke down. Everyone's does. My wash machine broke down. Everyone's does. But you know what? Thank God, God has made a way to get it fixed. Hey, God will bless you, and God will make a way. You know what I'm thanking God? I'm thanking God it didn't break down when I was in Florida or Ohio. I'm thanking God it broke down right here next to the house. I thank God when my refrigerator breaks down, there was nothing in it. You ever had a freezer full of meat and it break down and all of a sudden you lost $1,000 and whatever you had in there? Can I tell you something? Never forget it. And God is able. All he's asking you is just do your part. And God will always do his part. You know where we struggle? With our part. Because of unbelief, and doubt, and fear. Well, Lord, it's getting down to empty, right? We sang this song. We'd sing it for 30 minutes in Trinidad, over and over and over. Give what you got, and God will give you more. Give what you got, and God will give you more. Give what you got, and God will give you more. So give what you got unto the Lord. This is a truth, and I close. God does not want you to give out of abundance. God wants you to give out of need. It's easy to give when you got $1 million in the bank. It's a little more struggle to give when you just got a few hundred dollars in the bank. But see, God says, give what you got and I'll supply the rest. I will make a way. And I can testify after 43 years of Christian service that God always makes a way. He always makes a way. It's a new year. Learn the lesson of giving. Learn the lesson of grace giving. Participate. And be a part. Let's stand for prayer.